Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
So I agree with what Dr. Lauder is saying, and I'll say something which is kind of simple, and I think a lot of Barbadians will understand. You know, it takes a time for an investigation, the contact tracing, to try to find if we can connect multiple clusters that are extensive in terms of numbers, I think maybe 200, 300 or something like that. But if this investigation takes a week or 2 weeks to find if things are connected, what if at the end of the week or 2 weeks you say, guess what, it's not connected. So we had community transmission 2 weeks ago. And if you're waiting on that to then act, which is why I think Dr. Larder's point about kind of approaching it, when you have these multiple clusters across the country, almost thinking before you can finish the investigation that this might be community spread since it's so extensive and we have to do certain things to kind of combat that. Because what you can't afford to do is find out after 2 weeks of tracing or something like that, or 10 days of tracing, that yes, indeed, it was community spread 10 days ago, but we didn't respond as if we had. But we do know it's extensive transmission, but don't respond appropriately at that time.
There is another definition of community spread, which we have been given and which I've seen here, which says that it is when someone gets the virus without any known contact with a sick person. That's one other definition.
Right. So essentially you can't trace it, which is what... So the only way you can't figure out how to trace it is after you've done your investigation, your contact tracing. But by the... We had 200 people. So by the time, of course, the prisoners, you don't really have to trace that much. But, you know, by the time you trace and track all of these people, if you do have community spread and you don't know where it has come from, you're going to find out 10 days later. And you can imagine the exponential spread that could have continued if you did not, you know, institute measures at that time when you have extensive local transmission. I think that's kind of what, you know, people are concerned about at that point in time. I know some measures were instituted, and I agree, you know, no parties, no cruises, no stuff like that. But I'm concerned about things like gyms, public transport. So during the initial, and I don't like to use the word lockdown, but say activity pause, they had reduced the number of people on buses and ZRs, et cetera. And perhaps that is something that should be instituted during this, you know, kind of pause where they have the curfews. They probably should look at reducing the number of people on buses. Because while I think all of us agree that everyone should wear masks, we know that masks are not 100% effective. So if you're going to have 50 people on a bus from Oystens to Spicetown, that's a 45-minute bus ride with air conditioning and cloth masks, in where you have extensive local transmission, that might be problematic. So there are a few more measures that I would certainly like to see instituted. Gyms, people don't exercise with masks on, you know, and it's air-conditioned inside the gym. So all indoor gym activity probably should stop. They should reduce the number of people on the buses, because I think public transport is probably a significant source of people where they cannot social distance in Barbados currently.
Can I just jump in?
Yes, Dr. Lauder.
Just going back to, and I agree with everything that Anne said there, but I just to go back to what you said, a more simple definition of community transmission. That seemed to me like the CDC definition, which is kind of different from the WHO. And the reason that I was quite careful to discuss the WHO definitions was because the WHO guidelines are the guidelines that the Ministry of Health and the government in Barbados are following. So I think it's important to look at those guidelines and to see what the WHO are saying in terms of community transmission. Although I agree with the CDC definition, it's more simplistic. The WHO one is more complicated, but I think those are the guidelines that the country's following, so that's what we should be looking towards.
Okay. Well, let's go to the telephone lines and get some interaction with members of the public now. 4341790. Welcome to the first caller today.
Hi, good morning, David. How are you doing?
Morning, I'm well, and you?
I'm Pretty okay. Good morning to the other two doctors as well. I called yesterday, spoke to Dennis, and I'm calling again because yesterday was 5 days, now today is now day six that I've been waiting for test results. I had my test done first thing Saturday morning. I wasn't even in the long line. I got there very early, and this is now 6 days, and I'm waiting, and I haven't got a result. I've called all over the place, every lab, called the COVID-19 hotline. I actually got through to the hotline last night at 9:41, and the person on the hotline told me that I haven't been on the bus crawl and I haven't been to the UK, so my test is not priority, and that just blew me away. So here I am, just waiting for a test, trying to do it the right way, at home in quarantine. Just waiting, can't go to the bank, can't go to the supermarket, can't work, can't do anything. I'm just waiting. And I'm not just trying to think about myself, but what about the other persons out there who maybe who has a pre-existing condition, who maybe, you know, an older person, you know, and I don't know if there are people like that who are waiting for results as well too, you know, and you know, what if they're positive and they're this condition is, you know, getting worse. So, you know, I don't want to blame the doctors, you know, the medical fraternity. I think they're all doing a fantastic job, but I think 6 days is quite a long time to wait.
Of course it is. And there are other people out there who may be in this situation. But we are talking here now about the extent to which the situation has deteriorated, where there's more pressure on the system. How do you see that as medical people and experts?
I guess I would say that this exact scenario is probably one of the factors that should inform the decisions that you make when you look at your protocol. How much disease can I manage within the country? So, you know, these are the things that... So if you have extensive resources, extensive healthcare workers, then you can say, you know what, I can reduce my protocols at the border, because if we do have an outbreak, I can manage it fantastically. And so while I can say to the caller that you should still follow the quarantine instructions until you get the test back, to you, David, I will say that, you know, I think this is the kind of stuff that should inform how we manage the border.
Dr. Larder, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are the same as they've been over the past 6 months or so or more, that having reasonable testing capacity on the island was always was going to be critical. Now, I understand... perfectly well the problems with resource and availability of tests, et cetera, and particularly with personnel, because these are not simple dipstick tests to run. These are very complex, molecular, sophisticated tests. So you can't just, you know, pull someone off the street one day and expect them to run a very sophisticated molecular test the next day. You have to plan. You have to plan to build up capacity. You have to obviously make sure you have plenty of stocks of reagents, etc., which I understand the island has. But it was predictable, and it was predictable all summer, that the capacity would need to be ramped up quite substantially, particularly when visitors came back into the island, were let back into the island in larger numbers. You know, if you have 3,000 people coming in on flights in one day into the Grantley Adams, then the next day everybody will rush to get tested, and there will be 3,000 samples going to the Best of Santos. Yeah. That was entirely predictable, and I understand you don't want to have overcapacity, you don't want to be over-resourcing a facility like that, but actually, if you want your cake and eat it in some ways, if you want visitors to come in, returning nationals to come into the island and to put in place fairly stringent testing regimens, you need the capacity to be able to do it. And that was always, to me, looked like it was a problem that was going to happen. And then coupled with what has now turned out to be major outbreaks of virus infection on the island, has obviously compounded all of that and made it a lot worse. And I feel for the guys in the lab, I really do, because I've run labs like that, I've worked in labs like that, and that kind of pressure that is on you now is very, very difficult.
Absolutely.
And I just hope that these guys get through it and can really bring things back to some sort of relative normality with testing. If it would be my choice, I would have ramped up the testing capability and capacity June, July, August. And I'm not sure whether that was done. I mean, but by the looks of things, it probably wasn't.
And talking about testing, this is something that I have discovered. If you go to the public lab, you get it for free. If you go private, you pay $300 or $350 or $400. But what is surprising in all of this is that $200 goes to the lab. And the question is whether this is something that the administration should not be looking at. Now, I get the sense that originally this was targeted at the people who were coming into Barbados, who, for instance, from the United States, were paying $150 US for a test. So we were doing the equivalent thing. But now that it has reached the point where it is touching so many Barbadians and we are being forced to go and get tests, there must be some review of the extent to which the fee to the lab is so high for Barbadians. So I sincerely hope that there's some discussion and review of what is happening in that regard, because not everybody can go to the public polyclinic for that purpose. I mean, sometimes you saw what happened like last week or some days ago when you had these long lines. Last Saturday it was long lines
scary.
And the hot sun and that sort of. You were in it too?
No, I'm saying it's scary to watch because we have an outbreak and you see people gathering at the polyclinic.
Precisely.
So, it was not a pleasant sight to see.
Let's take another call.
The other point, Mr. Ellis, is that with the private testing, is that I think there's some misunderstanding, particularly amongst the tourists that are coming in, that if they go to private testing, they'll get results back quicker, or they get tested somewhere else. And there's a realization that they all go through the same lab eventually or ultimately and into the same system, I think has perplexed people, to be honest. And I agree with you. I think there should be some regulation in terms of how much people are charged for a doctor to come to their hotel to swab them.
But I think I'll speak as a physician here. I think it's very, the cost of the test, this is a molecular test, PCR. The labs are doing overtime work right now. And if you know Barbadian law, the price, the cost to pay workers overtime is extensive. And I think also for the private people who are sending people to get tested, they have to know there's a hazard risk for their staff to some extent, PPE, et cetera. So it's actually a very expensive process for those who are engaging in the practice of going out there and testing people, and the cost is almost double abroad, I think. So in the U.S., some people are paying $400 to get the 3 hour, $400 US to get the test to come down here. Regarding the private test, this idea that private testing can get you the result faster, I don't know if that is relevant now that the lab is overloaded, because I think I heard a visitor, you know, talking about having to wait for her test, and I imagine that was done privately. So I think now that the lab is inundated, there's really no difference in public versus private, but someone can probably call in and say otherwise.
Okay.
But I just want to clarify that.
Thank you. Let's take another call. Hello? Down to Brass Axe. Good morning. If you've been waiting a while, my apologies. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
Good, fine. Now, these two daughters, they seem a little negative, actually, to me. Regarding the area of community spread, they're like they are. I don't think they said it, but they like they believe that there is community spread from listening to them. But the authority said there is community transmission as opposed to community spread. I think the real definition of community spread is that once you lost the ability to contact trace, and I don't think the authorities in Barbados has lost that ability yet to contact trace. Like, for instance, same big countries that they're talking about, like in the United States, Britain, Italy, all those places, the same South Africa, all the big countries that they're mentioning, they lost the ability to contact trace. Barbados authorities have not lost that ability as yet. And as
Sir,
far as... Yeah?
I think there's some misunderstanding that you might have for what loss of ability means. It doesn't mean that the government has given up or stopped trying. It just means that when they do it, they cannot find the person who brought... They cannot connect all the dots to a traveler.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I understand that. And I don't think that we're in this position yet. That's the point that I'm making. I don't think Barbados is in that position at all yet.
So let me ask you a question, sir. If we find out that we are in that position 10 days from now, can we reverse time and go back and institute measures that we should have done community spread?
Nobody can reverse time. But the point is, right, I remember the Prime Minister saying, well, even before we had our first case, COVID case, we had phases or stages, whatever you want to call it, set up for the country. And we also had stages for the opening of the country, as opposed to a knee-jerk reaction. Like in Britain, for instance, they really had the phase on the stage. They just shut down, they just reopened, and they were struggling all along.
We call them stages, and I think in the UK they call them tiers.
Yeah.
So please don't misinform the public that nobody else had a plan.
Who's this? That who didn't have a plan?
You said the UK and these people, they just opened up and stuff, but they had tiers.
The British Prime Minister, when he spoke on the reopening of the country after the lockdown, the majority of Britain said that they are more confused after he spoke to them. But in Barbados, we had specific phases of the opening, the lockdown, and the reopening, right?
And nobody's disputing that.
Yes.
We are just concerned about specific aspects of the protocol, and I think that you might misunderstand that.
But the point is, I heard like the same BAMP, for instance. I got little issues with BAMP, what they're saying. The government also have their people set up, their stakeholders set up with the chief medical officer, etc. They also have their things. So yes, they can voice their concern. Mm-hmm. But at any day, the ministry and their team have to make the final decisions.
Let me say to you,
these
discussions are very important. Look, Barbados has had quite a lot of information coming from the government side. The government's opinion is not the only opinion on these matters. This is a very important national issue. And therefore, we need to be open to as wide a discussion, especially at this on the aspects, the medical aspects of it, because many of us in this country are ignorant of these things. Let me respond to that by saying this. Because somebody has made the decision it does not mean that we must all shut up and forget other opinions.
No, I'm not saying this.
Okay.
I'm not saying this. Because the same lady said that, yes, she's entitled to speak, and I agree with that. But at any day, somebody has to make the decision.
Of course, we agree with that. But having made the decision, it does not mean that everybody else must now go in a corner and say nothing more.
That's not my argument.
This is evolving. Let me make the point to you that what happened here. Mm-hmm. We have had a long period of containment. The government has been given a lot of credit for that. However, things have changed.
Right.
Things have changed substantially. And therefore, you are now in a position where you have to be reviewing what you've done. The government has to review it, but the government also has to, there are other people in this society who have a view as to what ought to be done as well. And we, as members of the public, ought to be in a position to hear it all.
But that does not mean that their view are necessarily correct. Now, listen, the government, all of the authorities all along, were mentioning to Barbados, look, we're talking about shutting down country and about bringing visitors, et cetera, all the law day. We had no major fallout in COVID-19 in Barbados prior to last week.
Can I say something on that issue?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, to the stats man, well, first of all, I was wondering what you thought about BAMP protocol number 9, if you had a chance to read the protocol.
Was it? Just give me the
okay. So you didn't read the BAMP protocols. Okay, so I will just start talk about the shutdown then. So the reason why we did so well, I think, is very multifactorial, and I think you have to parse it out. So, for example, if you look at the curves of the UK and the US, they had a dip during the summer. We opened back in July. So we actually were fortunate that we had this return of travelers and stuff at a time when the world really, in effect, was going into a dip. And the prevalence of disease, that's the amount of people overseas or number of people overseas who have the disease, will affect how many people are bringing it to you. And so, therefore, the burden on your borders, et cetera, and testing and tracing is going to be diminished in the setting where the prevalence of disease overseas is not. So that has changed. That's one thing that has changed. Two, we now have a variant that is circulating that is more infectious. Now, we don't even know how the efficacy of our mitigation strategies. So we all have to stay 6 feet. We all have to wear masks. But the science has not yet caught up to this new variant. So maybe in a few months, the science will say, you need to have 10 feet, and you need to wear a surgical mask and not a cloth mask because of this new variant. We don't have any of that information. Since we can't change our mitigation strategies because we don't have the science, we have to then rely on the border and the protocols at the border. Thirdly, in Barbados, we're quite fortunate, you know. It's a hot country, but many things are outdoors. So the tourists come, they sit on the beach, they go to restaurants that are open air and stuff. I think a lot of these factors have come together to give us a good outcome, not necessarily just the measures that we have. Now that things have changed, the variants out there have changed, right? The prevalence of disease out there has changed, and we knew this information for quite a while, right? And furthermore, I'll tell you, the outbreak is not a week old. By the time you have this burst on the scene of multiple people infected, it means that the virus has been circulating around for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. So don't think that it just burst on.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Tell me your science.
I'm not in the science.
You're not dealing with science.
Prior to what we consider the super spreading event in Barbados. No, we only had 27 cases. Barbados had recorded 375 cases, right? We had, out of that, 145 were visitors, 92%. And we only had 27 locals. Well, 7% or something so, right? Now, after we had a super spreader event, now I can't even trace the amount of local cases that we have right now. Because so most of the cases that we had this exponential jump came from locals. So you got to tell
I think you're lacking the information to analyze that super spreader event, most respectfully.
That what?
Okay. She says to you that you lack the information, the
little
data,
information?
To be able to analyze that
information.
You know, in any detail.
Yeah, information.
But let's move on. Let's move on to another caller. Thank you very much, Stats Man. This is Don DeBrass Stacks.